Now to our series on the American Midwest, nearly 1 year on from Donald Trump's election, looking at why so many people in this part of the states voted for Trump and what they think of him now. Our reporter, Danny Wood, an Australian, is a resident of Liberty. It's just outside Kansas City. In this report, Danny set out to look at immigration and race and found, yet again, a complicated link to the issue of education.
Papa's Coffee Express in Liberty, Missouri is an old-style American cafe where the music coming from outdoor speakers is rock and roll with lots of shenanigans and doo-wob doo-wobs. A few Liberty locals told me some of the views expressed over coffee here can be prejudiced, but owner Jeff Cessna, a Vietnam veteran, welcomes everybody. Patron Brian Powell, a retired graphic designer, describes the Papa's crowd.
It's not like the people that probably go to Starbucks. Most everybody is moderately conservative to quite conservative.
Brian, probably like many Papa's patrons, voted for Trump. He says he doesn't like Hillary Clinton and the way the Democratic Party has become beholden to elites. In last year's presidential election, immigration was an important issue for Brian. Despite official claims that immigrants of all kinds go through multiple checks, like many Midwesterners, he's very concerned about it.
This is our country. We have, as they say, the rule of law. We have our constitution. We have a way to have legal immigration. And I understand there's people from South America and refugees from the wars. They're looking for a place to stay. We just find ourselves overloaded with so many people. You don't know if they're going to do anything bad to our country.
Brian is not surprised that Trump hasn't been able to keep his campaign promises like building a wall and implementing health reform.
There's too many people making money or power off of trying to be divisive.
At another cafe, this time on Liberty's Old Town Square, Jill Noble tells me who some of these divisive people are. Jill is a school teacher by profession, a practicing Christian, and married with 6 children. She also describes herself as a volunteer advocate on issues of national security and American sovereignty. Jill says controlling immigration became a concern for her after she found evidence of a plot to undermine the education system. She sees both as an urgent threat to national security.
When Common Core hit the education world, it raised a lot of red flags for me.
The Common Core is a set of national education standards in English, maths and arts for children from kindergarten to the end of high school that was launched in 2009. It was developed by state education bodies, but not according to Jill.
I found that I could trace it back to Doha, Qatar, through Sheikh bin Khalifa Al Thani, who was working in
That's
tandem.
Surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're hearing it for the first time, you're probably surprised to hear this. Sheikh bin Khalifa Al Thani was working in tandem with New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg at the time. Common Core was birthed in Doha, Qatar.
You can understand someone thinking that's pretty weird that Bloomberg would team up with someone from Qatar, and if the person from Qatar wanted to destroy America, education.
You can't take over a nation unless you have an uneducated population. The population has to be dumbed down. And the United States has enjoyed a stellar reputation globally for having the highest educated people in the world.
Jill probably isn't aware that the PISA rankings, based on testing 15-year-olds in 72 countries, puts the US at 25th place. But Jill's allegation that the US education system is being undermined by Islamic influences is a view you sometimes find on right-wing media outlets here, like Breitbart News and The Washington Times. From this perspective, if Bloomberg, a wealthy liberal, is working with a Sheikh of Qatar on education issues, there must be a plot. But why Qatar?
In 1826, our former president, Thomas Jefferson, had real issues with the Barbary Coast pirates.
Jill says Jefferson sent the US Marines to deal with these pirates. And in the early 19th century, Barbary Coast pirates were a big issue for US shipping, and Jefferson did send the Marines to deal with them. But 1826 is 17 years after Jefferson retired from the presidency. It's actually the year he died.
He sent them to Tunis, Algiers, Tripoli, and around the Saudi Peninsula into Doha, Qatar. And when he reached Doha, Qatar, he bombarded the community there. And out of the ash heap arose a man named Sheikh bin Khalifa Al Thani, who is the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of present-day Sheikh bin Khalifa Al Thani. From 1826 to today, they have vowed to take down the United States.
Online sources, several library books, and a Barbary Wars historian confirmed that the US battle with these pirates in the Mediterranean Sea did not include an attack on Qatar, which is thousands of kilometers away on the Persian Gulf. But this inaccurate history underpins Jill's concerns about foreign influences. She alleges the vengeful rulers of Qatar are dumbing down America's education system by introducing an Islamic education concept called tabaya, which means moral and spiritual development.
This is an attempt to overthrow the sovereignty of the United States of America, and they're having pretty good effect right now.
Evidence of this success is allegations that some teaching concepts used in Common Core, that US education standard, have drawn on ideas in UNESCO documents, some of which mention Islamic education concepts like tabaya. Jill links this concern to immigration because she sees both as a threat to America's sovereignty. So at presidential election time, Trump's commitment to national security left an impression.
I switched over to becoming a Trump supporter when I realized that he really was quite serious about holding the border and building the wall.
Jill says under Barack Obama, refugees began piling in. The U.S. State Department says nearly 85,000 arrived in 2016, but the figures also show that apart from a sharp dip after the 2001 9/11 attacks, annual numbers have been much the same since the mid-1990s. Jill says immigrants, in the following case refugees, are causing an incredible strain on the country financially.
When they arrive in country, they are signed up immediately for Social Security. They come into country diseased with tuberculosis, typhoid, HIV, STD, and smallpox, a host of other diseases. They are not vetted, and in often cases, they're not even documented. How do I know this? I've been attending UN refugee resettlement meetings, and I've been being trained on how to process these people.
U.S. officials say the country has a many-layered vetting system for refugees, including health checks. According to Catholic Charities, who provide immigration services, refugees are eligible for federally funded cash assistance for up to 8 months. Jill also claims that the majority of 700,000 Latin Americans brought to the States as children, who successfully applied for temporary legal status under Obama's executive order called DACA, did so fraudulently.
The documents were forged. They put down non-existent schools listed on their application, which was done with them not even present, and almost every one of them were approved.
So where does this information come from?
I am quoting the attorney that works for FAIR.
FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, is regarded as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center that was founded to protect civil rights. So what would she like Trump to do now?
I would like to see a full rescind and complete stopping of DACA. I would like to see these undocumented people that are not children sent back to their country of origin. I would like to see a very strong and stringent vetting process in place for all future immigration. I'm not opposed to immigration, but I am opposed to a jihad, and this is a jihad.
We move on to race. I suggest that Trump is a divisive character at a time when the unfair treatment of African Americans by some police and the justice system is often in the spotlight. But Jill insists that the civil rights demonstrations in places like Ferguson, Missouri, in response to police shootings of African Americans, are the work of paid protesters.
And I believe a lot of nefarious, powerful people have a nefarious agenda to stir up race wars in the United States. And now you've got this situation. Just for the record, my granddaughter is black. I'm not racist. But I have a pretty good understanding of what's going on. And I'll just say this, I think the black community is being played.
But rather than race, threats from outside America, like immigrants and foreign education concepts, remain Jill's top concern.
A lot of Americans think of themselves as being generous, open countries.
Listen, I'm the most compassionate person that you would ever run across. But you know what? The sovereignty of the United States is in peril right now. And we need to do something very quickly or we're going to lose this nation. And that's the punchline.
It's really that bad.
It's that bad.
Danny Wood reporting there from Liberty, Missouri. Next week we'll have our final report on how Trump voters are feeling 12 months after the Make America Great Again campaign.